HPs escape the windless Chuckbusters. The privateers double up on the hopeless bazookas. All this while the Wild Bills and the Teal Ninjas maintain pace in the Dixon. Meanwhile, it's a five-way logjam at the top of the hammer. Join us as we review Week 6 and look ahead to Week 7. From the Mike Ditka Gas X Studios, this is the What's On Joe Mind Fantasy Football League Sports Desk Championship Edition.
Yeah, good old Iron Mike. Ripping it on national television. Forget you, Chris Carter. I got something that sounds better than you, Chris Carter. Brr. Fantastic. He's Iron Mike Ditka. You got to love him.
He can do what he wants.
Hey, you know, Bears suck. Saints suck. He's got no horse this season. It's just time to sit around the studio and fart.
We need to get him and Bob Knight in a fart off, see who can win that contest.
I'm reminded of that scene from Family Guy now.
Peter, you can blame this one on the dog.
My goodness. All right, let's get it started. Week 6 of the What's On Joe Mind Fantasy Football League Championship Edition. Start the music, Gary Gatso. Take you out to Buffalo, where the Wild Bills hold off the horror show 80-66 in kind of a yawner. The Wild Bills are going 4-2, keeping pace, just one game back in the Dixon. Led the way Cam Newton at his 19 points. Not a huge scoring game. They only had 80. They ran into the right opponent. Giovanni Bernard with 13. Allen Robinson of Jacksonville with 14. Meanwhile, for the horror show, it's Arian Foster with 16. Luke Kuechly with 15 in his first game back. Just a huge game out of him. And then absolutely nothing going on that roster after that. It's just a poop. 9 points out of Tyler Eifert. It's pretty good for the tight end spot. Yeah, just not much going on there for the horror show. And 16 points, and that's the show for it. The horror show is notable here because, gentlemen, is it time to sit down, Peyton Manning?
Yeah, it is. If the horror show wants to keep pace here, might be time to make a deal. I hear after this week, Ryan Tannehill may be available on the trading block.
Well, you're not going to do it with Sam Bradford.
Yeah, Sam Bradford is his backup, and that's no improvement.
He needs a trade or bank on someone on the waiver wire. And at this point, the waiver wire, at least quarterback-wise, has been picked pretty clean.
Yeah, it's really a shame as a fan of Manning for a long time, and I know you guys are too. He stinks. He stinks right now. You get the occasional moment of, you know, daylight, as it were, as when things come together, like that throw to Emmanuel Sanders. But he struggled that entire game to that point, and it's bad.
It's starting to look like the last year of Dan Marino. It's over.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, this was the last season anyway, but wow.
I don't think he's looking like Marino. The Philip Rivers performance kind of reminded me of Marino taking the game on his back and single-handedly trying to win it. I don't know if it's really the system with Peyton, or if it's just really his ability is degraded to that point. I want to say part of it's the system, and part of it is a bit of degradation.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we're not expecting him. He's 39 years old. We're not expecting him to play like he's 29. And yeah, the pistol's different, and his timing is going to be off, and there's new personnel, and that offensive line is not doing him any favors. But there's even times where they go back to the shotgun to try and make him comfortable, and he'll make a couple of throws, but nothing great. Demaryius Thomas is killing him, by the way. When he is making throws, Demaryius Thomas is swatting them to the ground.
He needs to try out for their secondary.
Yeah, he needs to, like, he'd be an awesome safety right now, but he is not playing well as a receiver.
Yeah, there was a number of times their receivers were hit right in the numbers, and they just flat out dropped him. Again, it kind of reminds me of the last year he was in Indianapolis, where he had that problem with a lot of Colts receivers. Pierre Garçon was one of them that would just constantly drop right to the numbers. Hell, if you had to make Pierre Garçon dive for it, the little would catch it.
Exactly. You got it. The only thing, the way you hit Pierre Garçon is to not hit Pierre Garçon.
Right.
But what I'm most proud of this game is the owners logged in and filled all the roster spots.
Good work, gentlemen.
Everybody played.
Exactly.
Everybody played.
We got winners in Chuck Oering and Jamie Creech. Winners. Champion.
And when everyone plays, everyone wins.
Because everybody beats Chuck just by playing.
Next game.
Darklonia It's not even doubling up. It's just a complete annihilation of New England. 122 to 55 and a half. Justin Bell actually did log in and make roster changes this week. Unfortunately, he played Mike Wallace instead of Alshon Jeffrey. Finally removes Alshon Jeffrey out of his lineup. The week Alshon Jeffrey comes back, and Alshon Jeffrey was good for 20 points.
Still throwing DeSean Jackson out there.
Yeah, Mike Wallace was good for 3. DeSean Jackson did not play. 0 points there. Could have played Golden Tate in his 10. Nah. Nah, we don't need that guy. He was the beneficiary of Phillip Rivers, 32 points. Next highest scoring bazooka was Adrian Peterson with 6 points. Meanwhile, the Privateers continue their assault. Tom Brady with 27, Devontae Freeman with 27, DeAndre Hopkins, who is on another planet right now, with 26. Brandon Marshall was a scrub on this team with 15 out of the flex spot. He got stung by Eddie Lacy's injury, didn't get a whole lot of plays. Josh Brown didn't get any opportunities, only 1 point there, too. Didn't matter, 122 points. He's sitting Colin Kaepernick. He's a hot hand right now. He was good for 26 on the Darklonia bench. Didn't need him.
Nope. John Brown.
Sat John Brown on his huge 196-yard game, 18 points. Didn't need him. So Justin's bench almost outscored Justin's starters. 49 points on the bench for Justin.
Wow.
55 and a half in his lineup.
Keep in mind, each team only has 4 on the bench.
Yeah, the Darklonia bench had 53. Almost an outscoring there, despite Justin's bench's great performance. Still outscored by the Darklonia bench. If we could give him a win and a half, we would.
And Justin could probably go out there and find even more points if he were to go play week-to-week on defenses as well.
Yeah, that Lions defense, it's actually a good week for them that they put up the goose egg. They've been in the negatives a couple times, if memory serves. I'm going to pull them up real quick.
Well, they had that 21-point week against Seattle in a losing effort.
They did.
Minus 1 last week.
If you go down the list, 10 points in week 1, then 3 and 5. 21 against Seattle when they did play their best game of the season. Negative 1 last week and the goose egg this week. So, yeah.
Yeah, the Lions defense just struggling with no play makers on the outside and no pass rush. Gary Gatso, how's your nose tackle skills going? They could use you in Detroit.
They have the same number of sacks that their nose tackle does right now.
Yeah, well, Ngata is on the shelf with a bad leg. So, yeah, that's a big hole to fill when all the defensive tackles on the team left last year after in free agency. He was the guy who showed up, and he's been out since week 3.
Next game.
Moving forward, Springfield playing host to the Fort Wadsworth Warriors. Gary was in good shape going into Monday night. He was in shouting distance. His quarterback hadn't played. It looked like, Gary was going to come back and win that one. No, because Gary's QB, Eli Manning, and the magic finally wore off for Eli. 8 points last week, breaking his string. He had 4 weeks in a row where he was over 20. Best scorer on Fort Wadsworth, to give you an idea.
Kicker.
Yeah, Eli's stat line the last week one was only 7 points, then 23, 23, 23, and 33, and then 8 last night. It wasn't that he was terrible, he just didn't do anything. Which I guess is terrible in its own right.
Yeah.
Gronk with 11. The Colts shut him down pretty well, but he did find the end zone. Leading scorer, Steven Hauschka, Seattle's kicker. 12 points for Fort Wadsworth.
You know you're in for a bad week when your kicker has the most points. I was right there with you, Mike. I thought that I had a chance in this particular game, and we haven't even read what the Teal Ninjas have done yet, but Eli went down that first drive, 8 points, boom, right off the bat. I'm within 10. I'm thinking, I got this. He's going to put another drive together. And then once he had that strip interception from the tight end, it was all downhill from there. He actually lost points from the 2 picks that he had. One was a pick 6. And actually then late in the game got back up to 8. So that 8 total, I had that total at the end of his first drive in the first half and had to get back up to that total over the course of the game after his number of turnovers.
Yeah.
It was a very disappointing weekend for everybody that was playing on the Warriors.
Looking at the Teal Ninjas, they only threw up 71. This was not a great win for Springfield. 20 points out of Jay Cutler is a plenty serviceable week. 10 out of Delaney Walker, which is good from the tight end spot. The Broncos defense continues its assault with 18 points. Broncos defense has not scored in single digits yet this season, which for a team defense is pretty darn good, especially when going into week 7.
The Broncos are playing like they did with Tebow. Terrible quarterback, but with the defense, we're going to win anyway.
Yeah. The skill players are making things happen when they get the opportunity. Defense and special teams are good for a score, and they just hold the other team down. They're really playing championship caliber football.
Yeah, they are the number one defense.
With a bullet. Gary, 58 points, so nice.
Yeah, just to give some love to other players, other teams in the league, the Horror Show would have beat me. I would have just barely beat Justin.
You beat Chuck just by playing, but you didn't beat him by much.
That's about all I won this week. It was a tough week for a football fan of the Gotso household. This team loses, the V-League team loses, and the Colts just outright get themselves embarrassed on national television. Really, the only joy I had last night when I was watching Eli trying to make this comeback for me was a Star Wars trailer, and that was it.
Yeah, I actually posted that on Twitter. Is that speaking as a Giants fan, tonight's highlight is the Star Wars trailer.
Gary, the solace here is there's nothing on your bench that was going to help you win this game.
That's correct.
Your team just had that week where it pooped the collective bed.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen very often, so you could just wash it off and move forward, especially since you're still tied for first. The leader of the Hama, based on tiebreakers, Jamie Johnson, and Gary Bust My T-shirt. Winners last week over Seattle, 173. Jamie getting into triple figures there instead of having it thrown on you. How does that feel?
It feels kind of lucky because there's some big scores this week. So 100 should normally win you. We'll take it. But man, it's the catch 22, right? I stink, but I'm still in first place. I don't have to outrun the bear. I just have to outrun you.
Aaron Rodgers leading the way for the T-shirt, 23 points. He still hasn't gone off yet, and you're going to have a much better season when that finally happens.
He had the one game with 5 touchdowns. He's had 2 mortal weeks of football.
Yeah, he was even pretty good last week. He just wasn't superstar caliber kind of guy. You know, a couple picks and a couple turnovers the week before that even. So he's been good. He, 23 points is nothing to sneeze at. You don't throw that up when you're terrible. It's not Aaron Rodgers. He can be a guy who pretty consistently gets you 30 to 35. Jay Stu out of the flex spot with 20 points for you. Ronnie Hillman, ODB, solid weeks this week. Jarvis Landry with a solid week. Just a good all-around effort there. Patriots defense was the weak link in the chain, really. And
who would have thought?
Yeah, that'll happen once in a while. 27 points to the hapless Colts.
We're making moves. There may be a change at defense. Maybe a change.
But looking forward at Seattle there, nothing on the bench. Everybody's on a bye. Or Tyler Lockett, who was hurt. Marcus Mariota, only 4 points out of the quarterback spot. Zach needs to make some moves. Mariota's going to be out probably next week and just needed
yes,
to comb the wire. And
no, he's got Derek Carr, so he could always plug in Derek Carr or just go the waiver wire route.
Yeah, I mean, really, I don't think you're holding on to anything great by keeping Mariota. You might as well go out and get a Josh McCown. Because, at least from a fantasy standpoint, he's been okay.
I admire the conviction and the fortitude to stay with Thomas Rawls. It's commitment, and I love it.
Yeah, nothing else on that roster. Needs to make some moves. Hung in there with the Texans defense. Got 15 points out of him this week. Mark Ingram had the big week for New Orleans with 17 points back on Thursday. 10 points out of Earl Thomas in the Seattle loss, which is about what you'd expect. But nothing else really going on that roster. Le'Veon Bell held in check by the Cardinals. Only 8 points there, and that's pretty low for him. And nothing much out of the low guys. So Zach needs to shake up the roster a little bit because they're just... He's really only got his starting team. The rest of those guys aren't going to get him anything.
I think if he gets rid of Rawls and gets rid of Mariota and plugs in 2 replacements there, that will make things look a lot better. But they're starting 3-0. He's dropped the last 3. Now he's back to 500. You're back even. You got to look uphill.
The bench there, Lance Kendricks is the second tight end in St. Louis. He's probably the better tight end because he'll actually catch a ball when it's thrown to him. They just don't throw too much to him. And Benjamin Cunningham is the third string tailback in St. Louis. When you're combing the bench on a bad offense, that's not where you need to get your fill-in waiver players. So moving forward, congratulations, Jamie. 3-3, welcome to the mediocre party.
First place, though, I'm the best of the mediocres. Tallest midget, baby! Tallest midget!
It's a dwarf.
Oregon Outpost 788 hopped the Concord, went to Paris, threw down a 117-95 win on Debbie Gotso. Another good week by Debbie, 95 points, just unfortunately caught the wrong guys. Blake Bortles again, 25 points for the Outpost. he's turned into a quarterback. He has the goods. I really didn't think that was going to be the case. 25 points there, 22 out of Megatron, 23 from T.Y. Hilton as he finally found the end zone, finally making him a worthwhile flex play. Demaryius Stonehands Thomas. We got to call him Featherstone. You remember Necessary Roughness?
Oh, yes.
Featherstone was the big athletic track guy who couldn't catch the ball. That's Demaryius Thomas. Frank Gore with 8. Not a whole lot going on there. Just really the leaders took him home. Debbie had a nice balanced effort. 18 out of Drew Brees. 19 from Greg Olsen and his 2 touchdowns in Carolina. 16 from Emmanuel Sanders and the long play from Manning. A few more guys in double figures there. Just came up short. You know, good week, but came up short. The Titans defense not doing you any favors. Titans defense outscored this podcast by 1.
And Adam Vinatieri with only 2.
Yeah.
Not a great afternoon there either.
No, but I'm not going to criticize that.
No, not a criticism, just simply an observation that a bad week there didn't help any.
Yeah, and ran into the team with Robbie Gould and his 14 to make it look even worse. Left nothing on the bench. Ben Roethlisberger was the only technically active player, and he didn't play. The other 3 guys in bye weeks for the outpost. Debbie left 14 points on the bench, but none of them were going to help that much. You know, she made the right plays, even. You know, tough week. We're going to give Debbie some credit. You know, Marshawn Lynch had 11 points. Made his biggest impact just today. Got into a traffic accident with Fred Jackson.
What's next?
Moving forward. Thankfully, everyone is okay. So if you get to make dumb jokes about that, because everyone is fine. Pyramid of touchdowns, 110 over the slumping Keelhauls, 96.5.
Uthman, man.
Uthman showed up with 96.5 points. There, too, ran into the wrong team. Matt Ryan led the Keelhauls with 23, 17 for DeMarco Murray, 10 for Anquan Boldin. Looks like we had a log-in this week, gentlemen.
Impressive.
96.5 points, just got the wrong guy. Pyramid of touchdowns was led by LeGarrett Blount and his 22. Smart play when the Colts are on the schedule. Smart play. Here's your stat from this game. On the Keelhauls bench, 66 points.
Yeah, there's a couple starts there. I wouldn't disagree with any of the starts you made, but yeah. There's some starts there that would have got you the win.
He has enough running backs. Holy cow. So we need a running back. Trade with him.
Chris Ivory and his 25 points. He went off in that game against the Redskins. Torrey Smith got on the board for the Niners. Keenan Allen had a huge day in Green Bay before he left with the injury. Even Michael Floyd, he went from being on back of milk cartons to show up with 11 points. Unfortunately, Mr. Uthman had a 0 from Jordan Reed at the tight end, and he doesn't carry a backup tight end. But yeah, if you need a tailback, you need to hit up Charlottesville and try and make a deal there. He's got DeMarco Murray, who finally had a good week at 17 points. Got Jeremy Hill, got Justin Forsett, got Chris Ivory. Yeah, hit him up. Meanwhile, the Pyramid of Touchdowns, just a good all-around effort. What's that? 7 guys in double figures. 2 of them are over 20 for 110 points. Let it all out on the line. Nothing on the bench there. Made all the right plays. And he gets to come away with the win. So 20 points out of Russell Wilson. Guys, what do you think of Russell Wilson?
He got a hell of a hit put on him by Kuechly this week.
There's a lot of guys who get the hell hit out of him by Kuechly, though.
This was the actual hit I was waiting for. He's sitting there scrambling, and it was a literal blindside and got him. But if you want to ask my actual impressions of him, he's got the team on his back. He has a mediocre set of receivers and a really cool tight end that he hardly throws to, but he started throwing to him this week. He has a running back that apparently is making impacts in other areas of the sport where he doesn't need to be making impacts. So he's scrambling more, trying to keep plays alive, and they're just not scoring. And the defense is letting them down now, too. Is it the beginning of the end of Seattle and the Legion of Boom? I don't know.
There's a lot of depth problems in Seattle. That roster got real top-heavy real quick as the guys who got them to 2 straight Super Bowls
got poached off.
Well, they got poached, and the guys they kept started getting paid. They kind of have the same problem Dallas does, in that Dallas has a real solid team that can go very far in these playoffs.
Playoffs.
But you take out just a couple of players, as it happened to Dallas, and they stink. And that's kind of where they're at. Unfortunately, the problem with Seattle is they didn't so much lose guys to injury. They lost most of their starting offensive line to here, there, and everywhere. They traded Max Unger in the the deal for Jimmy Graham, and they just haven't recovered from that. They don't block worth a crap on offense, and on defense, I think it's always been a bend but don't break kind of unit. The yardage, they've always given up yardage in Seattle, but they just keep you out of the end zone. And this year, they're just washed out by the end of games. They just cave.
Well, they had depth at defensive line. That was where they didn't spend money. You know, that secondary was unbelievable, but they just, that defensive line up front is just no longer gets a pass rush, and you can push them around so you can pick up rushing yards. And as good as Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas are, you can't hold up. And we've shown that because they've had the lead. I think they've had the lead in the fourth quarter. They've blown fourth quarter leads, which they just didn't do the last couple of years. And from a Russell Wilson standpoint, every year in the NFL, there's always, as long as we've been watching football, there's 3 to 5 great guys that it doesn't matter where they go, who their line is, they're going to be fantastic. Russell Wilson is not in that category. You know, if you want to put quotes on it, the elite conversation, Russell Wilson isn't in that list. But other than that, he's somewhere between 8th and 13th best quarterback in the league. He'll make plays for you. He'll keep plays alive. But he's just not going to come out here and be a Tom Brady or a Drew Brees or, you know, an Andrew Luck, whatever you want to put in that category.
All right. And what turned out to be our game of the week, pretty weird when you figure on it, a winless team. The RHPs escaping by the skin of their 108s over the Chuckbusters 107. Oh, Ty Sam! Oh, Ty Sam's! That's a tough loss. That's two tough ones in a row. Andrew Luck leading the way there with 33 points. Maybe the softest 33 points I've ever seen a quarterback toss up in fantasy. But hey, 33 points. Gary Barrage got in the end zone again for Cleveland with 16. Navarro Bowman all over the field in Baltimore, 16 points there. But the RHPs just keep coming.
But Eli Manning's mediocre to below average game gives the RHP 19 points from the Eagles defense on Monday night. Yeah. For the win.
That was a difference.
There's your winner right there.
Yeah, it was all about the pick six.
Getting some serious mileage out of the red rifle as well. Andy Dalton for the RHPs has been a pretty consistent scorer this season. 22, 27, 35, 19, 29, 27. That's the elite category in terms of fantasy football this week, my friends. Not letting up very often. Mart Forte with 16 to help out the cause as well. Just a solid game. They traded leads back and forth all weekend long. It was another one of those. It was kind of fun to keep checking in on the site just to see who was winning that particular moment. Tough break for Ty Sams. Big win for Rock and the RHPs as they keep pace at 5-1 on top of the Dixon.
I am pulling for the RHPs right now.
You're pulling the RHP? That's a t-shirt waiting to happen.
If there's anyone that I want to see win the championship edition, besides myself, probably Rock.
Looking for the RHPs, huh? Again, perhaps the greatest all-time name. As it's a joke made on a different show. Gotta love it. So let's take a look at the standings. As we mentioned before, nothing has been determined. This league refuses to sift itself out. The Hama division, we've got 5 teams, 3-3. Leading the way on tiebreakers, Jamie Johnson, a Gary Buffett t-shirt. We've got Aaron Rayfield's Oregon Outpost 788, also 3-3. Gary Godso's Fort Wadsworth Warriors. Josh Morgan's Pyramid of Touchdowns. And Justin Bell's New England No Logins. 2-4, only a game back is Debbie Godso and the Paris Dynamites. And only 2 games back at 1-5.
Gary, I have a question for you. This is how bad this whole thing is. You are the only team tied at 3-3 with a positive point differential.
Yeah, I noticed that. It is not much. It's only 13 points.
That's how ridiculous this is and how close it is. You're the only one with a positive point differential.
Gary, your season's been kind of weird in that you've either taken people out to trash or you've lost in these sputtering kind of games that nobody scores anything.
Yeah.
It's been really strange. We look over at the other side of the bridge on the Dixon division, and we've got Darklonia and Long Island. Brian Greenwood's Darklonia Privateers, 5-1. Rock Mastrangelo on the RHPs at 5-1. Chuck Oring and the Buffalo Wild Bills hanging tight at 4-2. Tommy Fauntleroy and the Seattle Teal Ninjas also 4-2, keeping pace. keep in mind, only the division winners go to the playoffs this year. And we've got the four best teams are all in the same division. Zach Hoffman's got off hot, 3-0, and he's 0-3 since, 3-3. Jamie Creech, 3-3 is really not a bad season after 6 weeks. Jamie Creech is in the horror show 2 games out of first place, wishing they were in the other division. And unfortunately, the Dixon is where the Chuckbusters are residing. At 0-6, already 5 games out, and looking forward to next year. Maybe we can make this a keeper league.
Hey, before we move on to the preview, interesting standing stat of the night here. Notice right here with the Buffalo Wild Bills. All four of their wins have been from their division. If they should ever come up against a tie, they're looking really good.
Yeah, certainly so at this point in the season. Front runner for the James Kavanaugh Trophy, Dark Loney, is 727 points, blowing everybody away, as James Kavanaugh is wont to do. Long Island is in second place at 629, so they've got a 100-point lead on the next highest scoring team as the fight in RHPs. Nobody in the Hama is even close. So you guys are really dishonoring. Was the point to dishonor Larry Hama this year? Was that what you were after?
Well, yes, because the third most points scored in the Dixon division would be the most points scored in ours.
I mean, it's fantastic. The general mediocrity going on. Do you have any idea how hard the power rankings are going to be to do this week? I know who 1-4 are. The Gary's Boss Fight T-shirt, looking to be number 5.
Yeah,
we're number five.
Preview.
Based upon the ranking system, I'm number 1.
Woo! We look ahead to week 7. We've got another tough week for the Chuckbusters, playing host to Darklonia.
Oh God!
Yeah. The line says Darklonia minus 19, and it's probably being generous. But the Chuckbusters have had a couple of good weeks, just some tough losses. So this might be the one where Ty Sams gets off the schneid. You never know. Yeah, I'm not buying it either.
You gotta believe.
At this point, nothing against Brian Greenwood. Well, other than him fielding Brady as a starting quarterback, I am rooting for the Chuckbusters just to get off the schneid.
At least they get to do it in style, huh?
Yes.
We've got Paris flying to Buffalo to see the Chuck O-ring and the Wild Bills. The line there, Buffalo plus 14. Yeah, okay. Sure. Charlottesville takes on the horror show. That's 1-5 against 3-3. Gary's Boss Fight T-shirt takes on the No Logins, battle of 3-3s. Fort Wadsworth takes on Oregon, battle of 3-3s. Seattle takes on Pyramid of Touchdowns, a battle of 3-3s. So lots of 3-3 action going on. And finally, our game of the week, Springfield 4-2, traveling out to Islip to see the RHPs at 5-1. Now, that's a game right there. That's a game. That's Separation Sunday. They'll tie. So pick 'em. Flip a coin. Pick 'em.
Well, no, Mike, that's just to frustrate you. That's where Springfield wins. The Chuckbusters get the upset, and then everyone's 5-2.
Sure. Sure.
It's possible.
Hey, you know what? I'll take 3 5-2 teams. We just got to break up this 3-3 madness.
We'll all be back after week 8 of 4-4. We'll all be 4-4. It'll be awesome.
Let's say you're Gary Godso. And you're looking for, say, I don't know, anybody to man the running back position. Who am I looking at if I want to hit the waiver wire?
Right now? Wow. There's not much out there right now.
I would say James Starks would be a great pick, only Green Bay's got a bye week.
David Johnson out there that seems to get the goal line handoffs a lot. Charles Sims, it all depends on what they're doing with their number one running back there.
Well, he gets carries when Tampa Bay has a lead. And that's why he's not a good pick.
I think Matt Jones is probably the better of the running backs that are fielded by Washington in terms of being fast and athletic, but they're not going to use him. Darren Sproles is out there, but you're really only looking at pass catching out of the backfield for him and maybe an occasional special teams run back. It is really slim pickings in our league for a running back.
So, what I happen to notice, Gary, why I bring this up is that about maybe 10 spots down on that list is the man, the myth, the Bishop Sankey. Can we expect a return to Fort Wadsworth for Bishop Sankey?
The front office will have to initiate some discussions with his representative and see possibly what he has to offer to the team. Right now, I don't even think he's really the number one running back on his own team. So it's going to be tough to re-sign Bishop Sankey out of anything but sentimental reasons.
Can a town like Fort Wadsworth contain Bishop Sankey? Is nightlife awesome enough there?
It's kind of funny because Fort Wadsworth isn't very much different from his own hometown in Ohio. He was born in Wadsworth, Ohio.
Nice. You know, for a situation where that was not scripted, that was completely off the cuff, Gary knows Bishop Sankey's hometown. So maybe we've stumbled upon a bigger problem, and perhaps the true message here is, Bishop Sankey, please lock your doors.
It's called show prep. I have been saving that since the start of the season.
Show prep. That's not show prep, Gary. That's not show prep.
Let's wrap this up, shall we?
Gentlemen, we'll start with Jamie Johnson. Your thoughts on the NFL at large?
Week 7, Patriots and Packers still continue to look the best. We've all looked at it. We just don't know if Peyton Manning in a key situation is going to be able to hold up throughout the playoffs.
Playoffs?
I think we're all napping here, but the Carolina Panthers are undefeated. Nothing to snooze on over there. This is, you know, they were 2 years ago. They were unbelievable. They're undefeated, and they just got their all-world linebacker back.
Carolina, what you're going to hear is that they haven't beaten anybody. Even Seattle, which was a pretty good comeback for them. Seattle's still only 2-4. So they're getting by a little bit on names. So I still need to see it out of the Panthers.
Panthers will eventually have to play some people because they're playing that first-place schedule.
Look at the division. They have to play Atlanta, who's 5-1. And Atlanta's not great, but they're certainly a good football team. If you can get to 5-1, you're at least decent. You know, I'm not saying that the Panthers stink, but I need to see a couple of signature wins before I really consider them a threat to knock Green Bay off. What I love about Green Bay is McCarthy is a terrible game manager, but in terms of getting those guys ready, they're really superb. They understand what the basic tenets of the pro football game are. You have to run the football, and in today's date, that means short passing as well. And you have to create turnovers. As you saw this week, Phillip Rivers went for 503 yards. But when they needed to keep them out of the end zone, they kept them out of the end zone. Statistically, the Packers are not a great team necessarily, but those guys are tested, and I think they're just going to be there at the end. Gary Gottschall, your thoughts on the NFL Week 7?
As a Colts fan, it was an embarrassing week. I am proud of the effort that they put in terms of making the game closer, but the whole punt formation thing and being one of the worst plays in the NFL's history, I don't know if it's going to be forgotten here in a couple years, but just as seems like 4th-and-2 has been forgotten. The whole thing was embarrassing. So, you know, Patriots fans, hey, you got your quote-unquote revenge. I don't know what you needed to get revenge for since you're the ones that broke the rules, but you got your revenge.
And won the game in the second half with the properly inflated footballs, you know, outscoring the Colts 21-0.
There you go. And if you want to think that the evil genius of Belichick was getting into the head of Chuck Pagano and that's why he had to do a special play like that, whatever, go ahead. Whatever makes you happy. At some point, all this karma is going to come back and get this organization and all these fans. And if the start of the Red Sox finishing in last place wasn't the start of all that, I hope something else will be the finish of that, when that will be Brady no longer being their quarterback and then having to worry about somebody else quarterbacking their team that's not nearly as good. You folks should consider yourselves very lucky. Be a little bit more humble. That's all I have to say about this last week in the NFL.
Hey, Gary, all we have to say about the revenge factor on the Colts is snitches get stitches.
What did we do? What do we do to cause get revenge?
You lost 45-7 in a championship game?
My cousin's husband sends me a message on Facebook. He says, hashtag TB12, hashtag Scorched Earth Tour. And I'm like, yeah, Saddam Hussein had a Scorched Earth policy once.
Snitches get stitches, Gary.
No, I'm just saying, being a little bit more humble. I have yet to see one of their fans say, you know, they played us a little bit tougher this time. That was a good showing by their team. No, it's the same old from this fan base. Consider yourselves a little bit more humble.
I'm going to take perhaps an unpopular position in that my thoughts on the week actually also have to do with the Colts-Patriots, because Lord knows I'm trying to wash the Giants-Eagles out of my head. But I think Chuck Pagano called a magnificent game. They did not execute. Griff Whalen, in with his garbage time touchdown, probably saved his roster spot, because that mistake is entirely on him.
Let me interrupt you real quick. If you go to bobandtom.com, which is a local disc jockey duo morning show, they actually interview McAfee, and he had a very good and very sane, very down-to-earth reason of what happened there. When they are practicing that play during the week, Whalen was not going to be snapping that ball. It was entirely someone else, and that someone else got injured during the game. Waylon had to step up. He never practiced the play, never knew what to do. If there's one thing you should know you should do, if you don't know what you're doing and you're holding the ball in the NFL, call a timeout.
Yeah, and what it was I think he just saw that the play clock was running down, and he had a panic moment at a bad place to have a panic moment. Because even Colt Anderson, who was the guy standing under center, when the ball came up, he didn't take it because he wasn't expecting the ball.
Yeah, don't give me that. I don't want it.
So I think it's one of those where Pagano called a great game. He called that game like he had to call that game. On an even playing field, the Colts do not win that game under any circumstances. So trick plays, the onside kick in the first half.
Where's the calls of genius on that? That was a great call. That was a gutsy call.
It was a great call, and they should have had the football. He called a magnificent game from a coaching perspective. They had the lead at halftime just to keep him in that thing at all. And unfortunately, the execution didn't work out for him. What I've been reading most of today, the last couple days, has been the Pagano haters. It's very trendy to bash the Colts management and front office right now. My impression of Chuck Pagano's ability to lead a team went up a couple notches on Sunday night. I think it's one of those where we'll see if he can keep it there, because I think that's a team that needs to come out and have a win next week. But I think in terms of how he called that game, it was a magnificent job done by him and his staff. But unfortunately, the guys on the field didn't execute. And so that's that. For Gary Gatso, Jamie Johnson, thank you for listening to our Hour of Crap on the What's on Joe Mind Fantasy Football Championship Edition. We'd like to remind you of our slogan.
Beat Chuck just by playing.
Beat Chuck just by logging in.
See ya. Maybe in a couple weeks. We'll see.
Yeah, Gary's got work. So maybe not next week, but the week after.
We'll see ya.
Good night, everybody.